Verse number 31. Verse number 31. Verse number 31, chapter 6, the Gospel of Mark. And this he said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and out went them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them, saying, teach them many things. And when they when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. And he answered and said unto them, give them to eat. And they say unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? And he saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. And he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the 2 fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and the fishes. And they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come unto you, Father. We thank you for everything that you've given today, everything that you have done for us this day. And Father, we just praise you and thank you and glorify you. Most of all for the cross. We thank you for your word. Also too, Lord Father, we thank you for the empty tomb. All these things, Lord Father, that we could just go through and rattle off, Lord Father, but we like to sum them all up saying we're thankful to be saved. And Father, we are so much thankful. As Brother Josh requested the song, and Paul's done such a good job of leading, love lifted me. Love lifted us all, Lord Father. If it wasn't for your love towards us, where would we be? Father, so we pray tonight, Lord, you've given us a message that comes from you. Lord, we ask you to anoint it, Lord Father, one more time with that fresh oil and your preacher, Lord Father, that we would preach exactly as you'd have us to preach, no more than what we should preach, Lord Father, but just preaching what we should, not do more, not do less, but just do exactly as you have us to do. Father, may our hearts be open to hear. May we not have a preconceived thought in our mind. May we not build up walls and build up barricades, Lord. But Father, allow their sweet word, your sweet spirit, to speak to our hearts. And above all things, Lord Father, that we would adopt this into our life, repent where we have come short, seek your face and give you thanks. All in Christ Jesus' name, and this prayer we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. No doubt familiar scripture, no doubt a familiar place in the Bible. We have read, we have talked about, no doubt it's been preached many a times. No doubt the things that's been said, but there's some things that just leaped off the page. Some things that leaped off whenever I hear sometimes people preach upon this or teach upon this or testify about these things. One of the best messages I ever heard preached upon the feeding of the fish with the fishes and the 2 loaves when it comes from the Gospel of Matthew was down in Kentucky. When a man preached, the little lad had the lunch, didn't know his name, didn't say a word, but he provided so much that fed the thousands and the multitudes. And can I say, it's not about who we are. It's not about if we get to say anything, but it is about what we are doing. And I will say this evening, it kind of goes along with the message that was preached this morning, will you go with the Lord? Oftentimes we look at things in the scope and the parameters of what we have to look through. Had a phone call today from somebody who tried to school me on some scriptures and school me on some things. And may I say this, the Bible is up to no private interpretation. That means that we can make it interpret what we want to interpret. The Bible is God's word, and it says what it says, and it means nothing else than what it says. No matter what man tries to add to it, no matter what man tries to take from it, it's still God's word. I'm amazed at this scripture. I'm amazed at this story because there's so many things that's happening in this place. We find here Jesus and the disciples. He's telling them to get away from the people. Something that we would say that we would never think that he would tell us to do. But he says there are so many people coming and going. We do not have an answer. We don't have a thing to know how to keep track of the people. He said, let's just depart to a desert place. Let us get on a ship and go to a desert place. He mentions the desert place many a times. And when he gets there, it doesn't matter if they go out into the desert, the company still followed with him. And can I say this? If you have what the people's that need, and if you have the salt that's causing the thirst of the individual, Brother Eddie, I believe they'll come past sea and land. Some folks come past sea and land. The Bible says that Jesus told the Pharisees and the scribes and the hypocrites, he says, you can pass sea and land to make one proselyte. But he said, but you make them twofold more, a child of hell more than yourselves. But can I say, I think we've got something that's so good to offer, and it's so good and salty like that good salt-cured ham. When people get a good bite of it, I think they'll come past sea and land just to come to hear the blessed gospel being preached. Y'all believe that? I absolutely believe that. There's many times I've heard people say this. They'll say, preacher, I just can't get nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto thee. So many times people don't like to hear, but verily, verily, I say unto thee, you must be born again. It is the best message and the brightest message that could ever be preached. I've often thought about the scripture when they was going to beat Peter and John and forbid them from preaching in the name of Jesus. And they went and got hold of Gamaliel, the man who was at the Sanhedrin court, who the one the Apostle Paul learned at the feet from. He said, good sirs, he says, if these men, he says, if they're doing something and it's not of God, just leave them alone. He said, because it's not going to come to anything. It'll just fizzle out. It'll smoke out. Y'all know what I'm talking about? I mean, it'll blaze just for a little moment, but it'll smoke out eventually. It won't come to nothing. They ain't got enough fuel to add to the fire. But he says, if it be of God, don't you dare be found fighting against it. And so many people go falling off with things that are not of God, and it lasts for a little while. It feels good. It's the fad of the time. It's the excitement of the moment. But too many times, Brother Don, they go with those things and they burn up and they don't come with anything. And then you got that one crowd that says, it just can't be this way. It can't be that way. I don't think it's right. And they'll bad mouth. They'll shake the finger and they'll shake their head and hiss at you. But friend, they're shaking the finger at the power of God and the works of God. I just say this, just keep your mouth shut and let things go on. And if it's coming at you, be like a duck and let the water roll off the back. Let Lord get the praise and glory out of you and you go on singing your songs. Am I with the preacher this evening? I say so many times I find out that the advice that James gives is keep your mouth shut and just listen real close and don't get mad about it. It's all going to be all right. I have found too many times I put my foot in my mouth, Sister Becky, and caused myself too much problems. But I will say this evening, I'm glad that there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the ends are ever the ways of death. But there's a way that Jesus says a way we ought to go, and he says, I am the way. And I'm glad tonight that Jesus was showing them the way. He said, let us go into a desert place. Let us go. But they, what Jesus was given and what the disciples was a following and listening to being taught and also later preaching was exactly what the people needed. But oftentimes we get caught up in the things of the world. We get caught up in the things of the work. We get caught up in the things of the labor. And those things get caught up in the way. And I don't want to, I don't know if I'll even preach very long. I've been trying my very level best. Some of you might be questioning sometimes, like I said something to Eddie this morning, and I said something to Sister Stella the last. I've been trying to cut down the preaching time, and you said, preacher, why are you trying to cut down the preaching time for? Because the mind will only endure what the backside's willing to hang on to sitting in the pew. Y'all hearing the preacher? And I've looked out, and some folks just look like they've lost off into la la land after 25 minutes, and no matter how much I try to pull and tug on some people's hearts, they ain't listening no how. And somebody says, well, preacher, don't you dare try to shorten God's message. Well, I can't shorten God's message. But God can shorten me. Y'all hearing the preacher? Sometimes I get so excited I want to keep on preaching because I just love preaching. And whether you believe it or not, I do have enough material to preach for 2 hours. You don't think I do? You just try me and I'll preach for 2 hours. Whether you like it or not, you may not like some of the things that I'll say, but I can preach for 2 hours. I may not be able to get to go home at night. My the locks might be changed, but I can still preach it for 2 hours. But can I say this? Oftentimes we look for something great big and something great and grander. But friend, it's the simplest of things that God sometimes needs to point out to our lives. He's feeding the multitude and he tells the disciples, he says, these people ain't got nothing to eat. He says, let's go get them something to eat. And they said, we don't have nothing. We ain't got enough money. They're looking at the things that they hold near and dear. They think that would be the way to feed the 5,000. Some people might say, there's no way, shape, or form that we can do the things that we can do. But I'm amazed as I read this, the letter that come from Bearing Precious Seed, having all five presses shut, get broke down and beat up, and some are old, need to be renewed, and new be replaced. But still yet they printed 7.2 million Bibles. I think that's a miracle. I think that's wonderful to be printed and sent out. But friend, the only thing that hinders us from doing the work of God and following God is our own selves. Somebody say amen. Don't get me wrong. The devil will always fight against us. That's his position in his existence. And he's mad because he knows his existence is not long. He knows his time is short. So if he can keep us discombobulated, that's a big word, isn't it? If he can keep us all out of whack where we cannot do the things that God wants us to do, then he's got himself a little bit of a pat on the back and a smile upon his face, while you and I have to pay the consequences for not following the Lord. May I be a reminder to you all that James said, he that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. So it's not what we're doing wrong as much as sometimes what we're not really ought to be, what we're doing, what we should be doing. We should be following that the Lord. Y'all with the preacher? I find that we find in this place, the Bible says, and in verse number 32, that they was going to go into a desert place. In verse number 34 or 35, it says they went to a desert place. And then it talks about how they kept going to the desert place. And can I say, you would not think that you would find any kind of help or food in the desert place. You would not be able to find the bread store in the desert place, Brother Paul. You would not be able to find the fish store, go fishing in the desert place. Y'all hearing the preacher? Oftentimes we look at the desert place because it's a barren place. It's a place that has nothing to supply. There's nothing there that has to give. But friend, may I remind everybody, it's not Mother Earth who's supplying our needs. Amen right there. But it's the Heavenly Father that's up above. The Bible says he knows what you stand in need of, but he wants to hear you ask. The Bible says he can clothe the lilies and he can feed the sparrows. He can do that much more for you and the more. And can I say, oftentimes we look at our abilities, we look at our things that we can do, the things that we can accomplish with our own life. But in a desert place, Brother Paul, we have nothing to offer. I get a big kick sometimes, and it helps me look at certain things, relax. I like watching them people who, for fun, want to go out in the middle of the wintertime out in the mountains somewhere and build themselves some kind of shelter and start a fire from scratch and spend the night in the cold. And they said, man, it was pretty cold, but I got through, and it was only -5 degrees Fahrenheit. I'm like, you nut job. I'm sitting here in a nice warm bed, and I don't need to build a shelter. God done provided me a shelter. But so many people would do the craziest of things in the places that are desert. But friend, God's in the desert place. They're in the desert place. The people's following in the desert place. It's not one they have to provide for, but it's the multitude that followed. 5,000 men, not counting themselves, not counting the women and the children that may have went with them. Notice the first thing that I see in verse number 38. He said to them, how many loaves have ye? Go and see. And when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. Jesus goes and has them check to see how much they have. I guarantee you they probably knew how much they had. If Jesus was telling them to go to a desert place, Sister Debbie, you knew they was taking inventory before they was heading to a desert place. Somebody say amen right there. When you're living paycheck to paycheck and you know the groceries ain't the cheapest thing, you look in the cupboard and see what you ain't got, you know what you need, you start doing the figuring long before payday comes around. Is anybody hearing the preacher? And oftentimes people do that. They was taking a checkup. But I think Jesus was having them look to see how much they had, to see and realize just exactly what he is and what he can do. They said they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. We touched upon it this morning, and we touched upon it a couple messages ago, as we said, about the access and availability, not the ability. And can I say this? It once speaks again through here. And I don't know why God has brought this back again to the forefront of messages for this morning and today. But notice it's not the availability, it's not their ability to produce the bread. It's not their ability to produce the fish and feed the people. Jesus is just asking them what they have. He says, what do you have? He's not asking, what can you do? He's asking, what do you already have? And so many times people are looking for something that's great and special. I'm always reminded whenever preachers get high and mighty, and this one himself, I'm often reminded when the Lord speaks to me out of 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 that God chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. Y'all hear in the preacher? Oftentimes people say the preaching of the gospel, the Bible says, well, preacher, are you calling preaching foolishness? No, but it's the preaching of the gospel for them that hear, that don't believe, it's foolishness. But unto us that believe, it's the power of God unto salvation. Y'all with the preacher? I've got a whole lot of introduction. I got one little point, and I'm not trying to cram it all in to make it 35 minutes to say I can't preach 30. I'm going to try to preach everything God give me. But I want to make this perfectly clear. The accessibility, the availability is what God's wanting, not the ability. I want to say this to the young people. You all think that you don't have much to offer. You have everything. Note and put this in your mind. In the book of Daniel, who did Nebuchadnezzar want? He wanted the young people. When it come time for Egypt to keep a hold, who did he want to keep? They wanted to keep the young people. They said, the men can go worship, but let us keep the children. Why? When you get someone well up in years, don't take this the wrong way. Some of you saints, it's been the way longer than I have. You're all stubborn. It's too hard to get you to change and do things new. They can't change the way you think, so they get the young people, the fresh young minds, so they can mold and shape and manipulate. Y'all hearing the preacher? I'm sitting my way. Some people say, preacher, you're about as stubborn as the day is long. There's no way you're going to change. But he's not after me. I'm no use for the devil. He likes them young people. He wants to get a hold of them young people. And Brother Tom, if he can get them and wipe out that generation, there's a generation that's missed the gospel of Jesus Christ. We find when Israel had their problems is when that younger generation could not speak the language of the Hebrews. They did not know what was going on. And can I say this today, friend? It's the accessibility and the availability that God wants in everybody's life. And young people, he wants to have access to your life, the availability that you would give him in your life. But can I say it is also for the middle age and the old person. But friend, can I say this? God is looking for what we are, who we are, not who we can be. Let God make us who we are. Is anybody hearing the preacher? I got to hit this one more time. I'm feeling pretty good. I love this scripture. Me and Brother Dax Talby began to about shout on this scripture. He that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. That means he's not going to quit. He's not going to give up. No matter how bad you fight, no matter how bad you mess up, he's still going to work on you. It gets a whole lot better if you give him access. It's a whole lot better if you make yourself available. But oh, it's not your ability he's wanting. He wants to put his hands on you and mold and shape you. He told them disciples, what do you have? Some people say, well, preacher, I ain't got much. In the Gospel of John, the little lad didn't have much. All he had was 2 fishes and 5 loaves. And he gave his lunch and it fed. Notice, it said he commanded them to make them all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And they sat down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. Notice it didn't matter how big the crowd or how small the crowd. It didn't matter who was in the crowd. And he said where to sit down, and that's where they were supposed to sit down. There's a spot for you. God has a plan for you. God has a position for you. Because he needs you to be in the spot that he wants you in so he can use you to help somebody else along the way. Do you all even know that? Do you know that he wants to use you so much to further along some other people? I've heard some people may not realize this. Brother Josh will know this. I don't know if my kids will remember, but there's an old friend of mine. The last I heard, he's still alive. His name's Devin, and Devin's got some mental challenges, and forgive me, I just don't know, because I still got 1980s and 70s in my upbringing, is what we would call he's mentally retarded. But Devin's a jewel. I mean, he was a precious jewel. Bless his heart. He'd sit there and he'd have about like maybe a mind, a capability of like a 7-year-old or something like that. But he was the same age as me. And he'd come and sit in church, wouldn't he? And he'd sit like right there. And he'd sit there and you'd be preaching. And Sister Vicky, he'd sit there and go, preach it, preacher. Preach it, preacher. Preach it, preacher. And he'd throw his hands up like that, get all excited. And when nobody else is hollering sick him, he's saying, preach it, preacher. Preach it, preacher. He may not knew much, but he knew what the gospel was when it's being preached. And the Lord used that little fella to help me and help our pastor at that time and help them other men that came and preached. I love Devin with all my heart. And he's got a simple mind, and there's some other things that can go with Devin that Devin needs prayer on. But Devin was something I always looked forward to. And can I say this? I gave the testimony one time about little sister Rita Carver, how she would sit, how she would stand and sing Two Coats Were Before Me, an old and new, and she'd sit there and get all happy and go, ha, ha, ha. And smack the podium, get all filled up. We're sitting here singing. I can't remember what night it was. We're sitting out here, and Christian and Alexis was on the piano. We began to sing, talk about Two Coats. And I said, oh, Sister Rita Carver. And she turned and looked at me. She said, oh, yes, Sister Rita. And she knew Sister Rita Carver. Rita Carver may not have been too much with anybody else, but when she'd sing Two Coats, it would just turn the church upside down and begin. begin to shout. You say, preacher, how come she had the ability to do that? Because she gave the Lord access and availability for God to use her just to sing a simple song and to praise His name. May I say this? She gave the access and the availability. And the Lord gave her the ability. When He sits and gets and puts you in the position that you need to be in, He'll supply the things that you need. He don't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. And may I say this? Out of all these things, He said, first, how many do you have? And they gave what they had. Secondly, to be in the position to give. But notice they're in the desert place. They're in the desert place. The greatest thing that I thought of, the miracle, was in verse number 42, and they did all eat. And not only did they eat, they was filled. Hey, they was filled up. I mean, they was filled. It wasn't just a nibble here and a nibble there. It wasn't just an appetizer, send them on their way. They were filled. But this is the part that got me. And I never got to preach on it before. And I heard a man say something, and it just stuck out in me. And I probably come across this scripture, Brother Eddie, I don't know how many years ago, but it just dumbfounds me that they found green grass in a desert. Does anybody ever notice that? Found green grass in a desert. I know what the theologian said because I went looking for a theologian's answer. And by the way, it doesn't have to be a desert with dust and dirt for it to be a desert. It could be all kinds of things and be a desert. I'm like, man, that's not what I'm looking for. I mean, I associate a desert with dirt, don't you all? Sand. I used to play golf. And I hated sand because it was a trap. There was nothing there to help. It wouldn't help the ball. The ball wouldn't fly. The ball wouldn't roll. Wouldn't help the ball not one bit. And you're in the desert, it don't help not one bit. But there's green grass. Notice the Lord tells them, calls them to sit down where? In the green grass. Not in the dirt. Not in the dust. Not in the sand. He says, get out of the dirt, get out of the dust, get out of the sand, and get in the green grass. Can I say this? They had to go from one point A to get to point B if they're going to get fed in that by the Lord. Y'all hearing the preacher? I got to thinking about that. I said, man, that's just something, isn't it? Get out of the dirt and get in the grass. Anybody know anything about dirt and mud? I mean, I was sitting there, I think we was going to a basketball game or something. I look out there, and there's a puddle, and wouldn't you know, the first person to find it was Rebecca. She found that puddle. She began to dance like Gregory Hines. I don't know if anybody knows who Gregory Hines is, a great tap dancer from years gone by. She's doing a tap dance and everything in that mud puddle, and I hollered, and I think everybody on the other side of Blanchester, I think Michelle probably could have heard me in Blanchester. I just squatted and go, get out of that mud puddle, and just hollered real loud. But it's the young and the immature that hang out in the mud and the dirt, don't they? Oftentimes, they don't realize they're hanging in the mud and the dirt. The things that get on them in the dirt, it hinders, it causes problems, it causes things that may not help. But you got to get in that green grass. You listen to the preacher, Brother Paul? Can I say, so many times, people's hanging out in the dirt, and what they need to do is get out of the dirt and get in the green grass, and God can feed them everything they can eat. I don't know anybody else. We was with the basketball game. Y'all help this preacher now. I said I was going to preach 30 minutes, and I do not want to fulfill the scripture. It says, let God be true and every man a liar. I want to cut her short when God says, I'm done, Sister Lucy. You got to pray for me. Sitting there watching the basketball game, and I'm looking out there, and the center for the Blanchester team, man, he's looking all cool, looking all jazzied up. He's sitting there guarding, and he opens up the mouth to say something, out shot that bubble gum onto the floor right there, and he looks around, reaches down, grabs it, puts it right back in his mouth. I sit there and go like that, sitting on the stands. I go, no, he just did not put that back in his mouth. And oh yes, I did not let him live that down. I called him after the game and said, how's that gum taste? He said, you didn't see that, did you? Why else would I say, how's that gum taste if I didn't see it? But them kids, they'll grab things. I mean, I've seen, I ain't going to say this, y'all pray for me now. Even as we was kids growing up, there was kids around that would eat dirt. They'd play and they just wallowed in that dirt, wouldn't they? Eat worms and all kinds of stuff. Some of y'all don't want to admit it. But you're sitting there going, yep, I know some of them kids. I know some of them. But can I put that to a spiritual application? So many times spiritually, we hang in the dirt. We stay in the dirt. Lord ain't feeding me. Well, get out of the dirt. Ice cream man. Remember the ice cream truck? Who used to remember when the ice cream truck actually served ice cream? Soft serve ice cream. Oh, I heard somebody squall. Who's squalling? I remember over in Franklin Township, they'd come, that ice cream man had that song. He would be like four blocks away. We'd be like hunting him down. And they used to have soft serve ice cream over in there, and they'd serve it. They didn't have later on, but a couple years, had the drumstick. Help me now, I'm going to get lost in an ice cream truck. But I don't know how many times one of us, including me, you'd drop that ice cream cone right there on the side of the road. You'd pick it up and you didn't care. You just thought it was like sprinkles or something. But all those things we did, we was like immature kids. Right? Seriously, this is the message. Church people, we got to get out of the dirt. Now, you may be here and you say, preacher, I'm not in the dirt. So then pray for those that are. Because I'll say this, if you're in the grass, Sister Connie, somebody's going to try to drag you back into the dirt. And when they drag you in the dirt, we can point our fingers all we want at the person who dragged us into the dirt. But we're the one who's in the dirt. Right? Grass, green grass in the middle of a desert. That's a soft spot to sit. Makes me think of how good the shepherd is. He said he'll cause us to lay down in green pastures. Sister Vicki, that means even in the desert, he's going to give us green pastures. No matter how bad the enemy roars, the Bible says he'll prepare tables before us. I like what that brother Homer Hensley preached. He said when they would calm the waters down in the running waters, they would build a wall and they would cause the water to calm down. They call that the table because sheep won't drink from fast moving water. They would drink it from still water. But can I say this? Oftentimes we get ourselves in trouble because we need to get from the dirt to the grass. May I say this? When I was lost and undone, I was playing in the dirt. The dirt's a representation of my flesh. From the dust of the ground had he made man. That dirt, that dust is a representation of our flesh, how our flesh sometimes dictates. And I'm not pointing a finger at nobody because I wrestle with this flesh. I fight against this flesh. Paul says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. And I know it's not the easiest thing to do. And you say, preacher, what do? We got to realize we're in the dirt. And when we're in the dirt and the flesh is trying to have control and take over, we got to get out of the dirt and get in the grass. Somebody say amen right there. I mean, I was hoping for some kind of deep theological meaning. And Paul, you'd go, wow, and cross your eyes and say, pastor's real deep. But it's real simple. It's so simple. Don, we get drug into the dirt. I mean, and can I say this? 9 times out of 10, it's the thing or the person or the position or the place or the situation that you don't think it's the one that's pulling you in the dirt, and you don't realize it till you're back into it. There's no way you could feed 5,000. There's no way you could feed them unless they're in the grass. Well, you can't feed them in the grass if you're in the dirt. Preacher can't preach the gospel if he's in the flesh. Is that right? That's what's the problem with our church world today. So many men who says they're preachers and they're not preaching. Or if they are preachers, they're preaching in their flesh. They're in the dirt. Oftentimes I'll say this, you can't feed a person that's in the grass if you're in the dirt. There's no way you can be fed in the grass if you're walking in the dirt. I'll never forget this, and I said as long as I live, one of the sweetest things we used to celebrate was when the garden was over. I hated the garden at the Faulkner home. Worst job there ever was de-rocking the garden. I don't know if anybody ever had to de-rock the garden before. It's a horrible job. I think they ought to institute that instead of whipping kids. Brother Eddie in school need to go find some old farmer somewhere and it's got a good big garden and say, go de-rock it. And you can't get back in school until you de-rock the garden. Radio flyer filled with rocks, dragging them out of the garden, putting them in a place to pile up. I never forget, Dad says, all right, now you can go do what you want. And I had the Tonka trucks. I had the big yellow ones. I had the yellow trucks, the orange trucks and everything. And I'd make roads and tunnels and everything. And I'd play in that dirt all day long. And then I'd hear my mom call. It's time for you to get back to the house. And don't you think about getting in that bed until you first get that dirt off you. Can I say this evening? I'm done. Brother Paul, if you come. There's some young people here, there's some middle-aged people here, and there's some older people here. And I'm not saying you're bad and you're evil and you're sinful. Maybe you're wrestling with some things that's in the dirt. You're wrestling in the dirt. Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord all night long, and he wouldn't let go until he got blessed. And you're wrestling in the dirt right now, and you say, preacher, I'm looking for a blessing. Well, get out of the dirt and get in the grass. Let the Lord take care of you. Let the Lord supply your need. Young person, right now, you're facing things and you need to seek the Lord. How you cannot, I do not understand. Middle-aged person, you have no direction. The Bible says, with no vision, the people perish. And everybody puts that strapped onto the pastor's shoulder, and I believe that's where it should be when it comes to the church. When it comes to your individual life, the Lord gives you a vision to how you're supposed to follow. And Brother Eddie, I believe that. What makes the collective church so beautiful is that individuals will follow what God wants them to do. A middle-aged person, the Lord wants to guide you and put you in green grass to bless you. But you want to keep going back into the dirt. It's time for you to come to the green grass and stop letting the things that go on. Maybe you're here and you're a saint and you've worked and you've worked and you've worked. And you say, preacher, I don't know what else I could do. I'm not in the dirt, but I just feel like I'm of no use. Can I say this? Seeing you with a smile on your face and singing the songs of Zion, resting in that grass, means a whole lot to this preacher. Means a whole lot. But can I say, we all got to get out of the dirt together. We all need to see and realize it's not what we can get, it's what we already have. And know that God has a place for us. Would you be willing to come tonight with the Paul if you'd sing?